The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Hi, this is Pastor Johnny Over, founder of the Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park. Here at Sound of Heaven Church, we encourage everyone to understand why they believe what they believe. For me, I had a pretty good childhood, but things got rough fairly quickly. My father was an alcoholic and yet still my best friend. And because of his love for me, which I felt every day, he was my hero. Sadly, my mother had a very different experience. Lonely and sometimes in dangerous situations. The fighting, the marital struggles, the drinking got the best of us and my family fell apart. Through my own personal struggles and demons, I didn't fall. I climbed into the lap of faith and embraced the gospel. Today, I'm ordained and I'm the senior leader of the Sound of Heaven Church. Together with an incredible staff, we offer you the gospel in a way you have never experienced before. Visit my website at soh.church. When considering a church, it's very important to not only examine their beliefs, but also your own. Visit Sound of Heaven Church at soh.church. That's soh.church. Welcome, everybody, to Sound of Heaven Radio Live, where we are incredibly passionate about making the love of Jesus known to all. We're here with you each and every single Wednesday and Friday at 6 p.m. I'm your host, Pastor Johnny Over, and I pastor the Sound of Heaven Church located in Deer Park, New York. Visit our website at soh.church, that's soh.church, where you can see all the great things we're doing in the community, check out our services, hear amazing stories, and much more. Subscribe to our podcast, Sound of Heaven Radio, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us 5 stars, helps us out a ton, doesn't take too much of your time. Like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Sound of Heaven Live. Our call-in number is 631-451-1039. That's 631-451-1039. I'm joined by my co-host, as always, Jason Koch D'Ambrosio. What's going on, brother?
What is up? How'd your week go?
It's going okay.
I ask like I don't know. I spend every day with you.
Yeah, I know. And not only do you spend every day with me, you move 3 blocks away from me, too. So
I know. You just can't get away from my family.
It's unbelievable.
That was a pretty cool experience a few minutes ago. Got to take a picture with Felipe Rose, right?
Yep, the village people. All right.
That's right.
We're going to do some dancing, right? You can't see us.
I tried to do a J. I'm just not that flexible.
You're lucky if you could just get an I in there. So anything other than that is a problem. I want to say hi, everybody watching here. We have a great show for you tonight. We're going to be talking about the Cave of Adullam, a little study to encourage you to get you in your weekend here. We're going to be at a Psalm 34. But before that, Jason, I have a little game that we need to play here because I was searching through getting some of my notes together for tonight. And you know, all those spam type of advertisements of, yo, you got to check out this article, that article, this article. Okay. And one article came across that piqued my mind. And you know what the article said? It said, making the Bible sexy.
Making the Bible sexy.
And the top 10 sexiest biblical bad girls in the scripture.
Ooh.
So I want to know how many of the biblical bad girls you can name So we're going to play. If you don't need to see Jason Celeste, this is the best view that you could possibly have for the show.
We're going to get complaints now. You got in late. You were taking a picture.
You got the beard view here. You could check out the nice trim. It's all even
this
out.
Show would be twice as popular if it wasn't for your beard.
I don't think so. It's despite popular opinion. All right. So let me know how many So I found this article, top 10 biblical bad girls, the sexiest 10 women in the Bible. Let's see if you can name them.
Listen, I got to go. I think if this was Family Feud, I'm thinking I'm taking the top one.
All right, go ahead.
What about Eve?
Bing, 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 bing. Number one.
Number one, see?
Jason comes out flying off the
That's
off
it. I'm just
bed.
Good at this stuff.
All right, let's see if you can. How many of the other 10 can you name?
Okay, let's.
Just throw some out there.
Let's throw
see
some out there. Let's go with Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene. Number two,
Bam.
Mary Magdalene.
Very, very good.
All right, let's see what else you got.
What about Ruth?
Ruth. Apparently nasty. Ugly.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Oh, man. Let's see. What about the woman at the well?
Woman at the well.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. She had 5 husbands.
Listen, I didn't write the list. I'm reading.
Yeah, but I'm just going to argue with this.
I'm not going to write the list.
Woman at the well, maybe she might have been the it didn't say sexy, right?
This is the sexiest 10 women in the Bible. Okay. So if you can name, you got two. You got two.
Got two. All right. Let me see.
And again, I did not write this. This is Stark After Dark wrote this.
What about Phoebe?
Phoebe.
Oh, wrong. Man. The Deacon?
Can you put Bobby through? Bobby's doing our Feel Good Friday segment. Let's get Bobby on to see if Bobby, because if anybody knows. And we got our producer, Delilah. Ding, ding, ding. Number five coming through with
and
Delilah.
And Family Feud. That's a steal.
If you want to throw some. Bobby, are you on with us?
I was just
going to
say Delilah.
Oh, too slow, too slow. Number four is Jason's favorite. I'll give you that one. That's salami. Salome. No.
I was going to say, can we change it to the most wicked current women of the last 100 years from the church scandals?
No, yeah. You can't. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no,
what are you trying to do here, Bob?
Let's not do that. Do you have any other names you want to throw in there, Bobby, to play this game?
Did you guys happen to say, let's see.
See, Celeste said Rachel, and that is not on the list. Ooh. Again, I didn't write the list.
Did you say Eve?
Yes, Eve was number one. Mary Magdalene's number two. Delilah's number five. Those are the only three we got. Come on. One more. I'm going to give you the list in 2 seconds here, but any other throw?
The Jezebel.
Correct. Number six, Jezebel.
There we go. There we go. Okay.
All right. So I'm going to argue number 10 for sure. But all right. Eve is one. Two is Mary Magdalene. Three, the mystery of the Babylonian whore.
What?
Of Revelation.
Oh, we know that.
Four, Salami.
That's a show one day. We
five, Delilah. Six, Jezebel. Seven, the Queen of Sheba.
Queen of Sheba.
Speaking of Sheba's, eight, Bathsheba.
Come on.
David had this chick's husband killed so he could sleep with her.
That's it. And who takes a bath on the roof?
I know. That's ridiculous.
Come on.
That's definitely.
Well, you don't do that unless you're sexy.
That's definitely ancient Israel, if I've ever heard it in my life.
You've got to be sexy to take a bath on the roof.
Speaking of that, last Saturday. No, I'm kidding.
It's like the busiest day of the airport. Everybody's looking at us. Normally, we're talking about like godly stuff. We're like sexy on the roof, and people are stopping in their tracks.
Number nine, the Witch of Ender is number nine. And then number 10, I have to be. No, Esther's not on there, too. These people are too classy, Celeste.
Yeah, come on.
You're naming for the classiest, holiest people in the Bible. This is the biblical bad girls here, the 10 sexiest women. The number 10, they have listed Potiphar's wife, which I think is an absolute disgrace.
Why?
Because this chick positioned Joseph, and he couldn't run out of the house fast enough to get away from her.
Well, I mean, I think there was risk-reward there.
I mean, temptation is attractive to the flesh. That's what causes us to stumble.
Joseph
we want
was
to
prophetic.
Do
he probably realized later in life he'd get whatever he wanted.
I bet you if we had a picture of Potiphar, we'd be like, please. Anybody would have done that. Everybody would have ran out. All right. Let's get back. Can we get back to the holiness of the show?
Make us feel good, Bob.
All right, Bob. Feel good Friday.
Feel good.
Share us some good stuff that's going on Long Island. I know this. The media likes to promote so much negativity all the time and just jam all this craziness down our throats here. But there are just so many great people and organizations doing great things. And so here is Bobby with the Feel Good Friday segment.
Okay. Well, this event is held every single Friday night from 5 o'clock p.m. all the way till 10, and it is called the Charity Night Cruises, sponsored by the Have a Heart program. Have a Heart is an organization. I know we talk a lot about cancer and the coronavirus and children stuff, but there's just so many good people doing great things. So this organization needs help. They're always raising money and paying for the medical expenses of families that have children with cancer.
Wow.
So it could be transportation, from buses to the hospital, medical procedures, different type of machinery and instruments for, cancer, depending on where it is in the body. Just stuff that people can't afford. These parents cannot afford. So every week they have a car show. And the car show takes place at the old parking lot that used to be Kmart. Over in Bohemia, it's 5151 Sunrise Highway in Bohemia. Just go there, donate some money, go see some cool hot rods and some cool Trans Ams and Lamborghinis and Porsches and look around the parking lot, but give some money and donate.
Do you know if they have the puke green station wagon with the fake wood panels on the side like in the Vacation movies?
They have that one, and they also got the Dumb and Dumber van.
Oh, perfect. I'm there. I'm there.
The General Lee, and they got that one too.
I'm there.
You had to go there, Bob.
You had to go there. Yes. You know, Daisy was one of those, temptresses.
You're right. If she was in the Bible, she'd be on the list.
Yeah, if she was in the Bible, she may be on the list, but she's not.
Exactly.
That's the name of the game, Bob. But Bobby, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Hope you're enjoying your time in Nebraska. We're looking forward to you getting back and safe travels. Appreciate the the Feel Good Friday segment and bringing that. So guys, we're going to get into a very interesting, cool biblical story that's certainly going to encourage you and give you some things to think about over the weekend when we come back after the break. We're going to be talking about a famous cave in the Bible called the Cave of Adullam. And there's so much powerful things that have transpired in this cave. And some of you may feel like you're in a cave right now. You're going through some rough times, dark times. You feel like that you can't get out. You can't break through, whether it's physically or mentally. And we want to be able to encourage you through this awesome, powerful story in the scriptures. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Sound of Heaven Radio. We're with you every single Wednesday and Friday at 6 p.m. I'm your host, Pastor Johnny Ova, and I pastor the Sound of Heaven Church located in Deer Park. Our website is soh.church. That's soh.church. If you want to join in on the conversation, 631-451-1039. That's 631-451-1039. Stay right here. Don't go anywhere. Don't turn the dial. Stay focused with me. We'll be right back with more Sound of Heaven Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Sound of Heaven Radio Live, where we are incredibly passionate about making the love of Jesus known to all. We're here with you each and every single Wednesday and Friday at 6 p.m. I am your host, Pastor Johnny Ova, and I pastor the Sound of Heaven Church located in Deer Park. Visit our website at soh.church. That's soh.church, where you can see all the great things we're doing in the community. Check out our services, hear amazing stories, and much more. Like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Sound of Heaven Live. Our call-in number is 631-451-1039. That's 631-451-1039. And of course, I'm with my partner, co-host Jason Koch, D'Ambrosio. And tonight we're going to be talking about the Cave of Adullam. And the Cave of Adullam story starts actually in 1 Samuel chapter 21. So I want you to follow the flow that we're about to go into here, okay? And so I'm going to read 1 Samuel 21. I'm going to start in verse number 7, okay? And this is what it says. Now, one of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg the Edomite, the chief of Saul's shepherds. David said to Ahimelech, Now is there no spear or sword on hand? For I brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's matter was urgent. Then the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, behold, it is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you would take it for yourself, take it. For there is no other except it here. And David said, there is none like it. Give it to me. Then David set out and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of this one as they danced, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? David took these words to heart greatly and feared Achish, king of Gath. So he disguised his sanity, he pretended to be insane, while in their sight and acted insanely in their custody. And he scribbled on the doors of the gate and drooled on his beard. See? Yep. See? All right. Then Ashi said to his servants, look, you see the man is behaving like an insane person. Why do you bring him to me? Do I lack insane people that you have brought this one to behave like an insane person in my presence? Shall this one come into my house? And then we pop over to the next verse. So David departed from there and escaped to the Cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's household heard about it, they went down there to him. Then everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontent gathered around him, and he became a captain over them. Now there were 400 men that followed him. So there's a lot of stuff that I want to talk about here. And the first thing, Jason, I think we should do is kind of break this down a little bit to make it more easily digestible for people.
Yeah, I think that's a good...
Would you want to do that? Do you want to break it down?
What? So no, please.
You want me to?
No, please. All right. No, you go right ahead.
I'm the pastor around.
Yeah.
So all right. So you have David here, who was heard saying this: Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s.
If you see what happens, Saul loves David, and then Saul hates David.
Yeah.
So that escalated.
Stark contrast, right? Yeah. Big contrast here, and so David's here, and he's about to meet Achish, the king of Gath, and.
everybody starts recognizing who he is and what he says. And what he says was of God. And he was really releasing what God was doing. And it's just funny how there's so many times in our life where when we do the thing that God calls us to do, it can get scary because the spotlight gets put on you, right? Now you actually have to live up to what you're saying, what you're preaching, what you're doing. And so now David here is being held accountable to his words to the point where he's scared. And so to discredit the words that he said, he pretended to be insane before him. He was shaking. He was going crazy. He scribbled on the doors at the gate. He started drooling on his beard. Ashish is like, who is this crazy person? Almost trying to negate what he said when Saul is slain his thousands and David is like everything this guy says is nuts.
So at this time, if you don't know, Saul is king.
Yeah.
Right. Saul is king of Israel, and David, as we know, as the prophet Samuel, anoints him to be the future king. So that's where the strife really started, right there.
Correct.
And basically what happens, the people start to favor David. Saul gets really, really angry, and David's kind of fleeing right now. He's running from place to place.
Right. So fear takes over him, and he does something he probably shouldn't have done, right?
Right.
Instead of standing up bold for the Lord, he pretends to be insane. Now, again, how many of you that are listening right now start making good decisions and good choices over your life, then all of a sudden temptation comes left and right?
Right.
Well, how many of you are just, you know what you need to do and you're just scared to do it? It's scary to take the leap of faith. A lot of us experience that with like jobs, right? We know we can't stay where we're at. Sometimes we got to take a leap of faith into a new position, but it's always like, you know, is there more money? Is it less money? What about my situation? Is it stable?
Or how about this? How many of you can't take a compliment? Right? Like, you know that you're good at something and you are being elevated for that thing. You're being promoted for that thing. But what comes out of your mouth actually downplays who you are. Because
right.
You don't want to, you say that you don't want to sound boastful, but the bottom line is that might be an insecurity issue.
Yeah, why boast in the negative? I mean, you're talking about it anyway, right? I mean, so
if you got to flaunt it.
So David runs and he runs over and ends up in this cave of Adullam, and that's the name of the cave, right? And so when his brothers and all the people the father's household heard about it, they went there with him. And notice the people that traveled with him to this cave. These weren't the high of the highs, the kingly people, the people with presence, the king with power, the people with authority. No, these are people who were in distress, people who were in debt, people who were discontented. They weren't happy with where they were at. They were frustrated. They were aggravated. And the scripture actually mentions that he became a captain over them. And there were 400 of these men that end up running. And because now you got all these people traveling after him. And now he's inside of the cave and they're about to kill him.
And he's not in there with the superstars.
No.
No. One of the Bible translations, I forget which one it was, it says the people that were down on their luck. So that weird uncle that everybody looks down on, that's who would have been in the cave with David.
Yeah, exactly. The crazy uncle. So David is now running with the cave of Adullam, takes all of Saul's men over there. He's now getting chased down because they're looking to kill him. Who took all my people? Who took all these people away? And now they're in a cave. And you have these people who are already distressed, who are already discontent, who are already in debt, who are already not having the best life. And they follow David because of what David's words were and who he was and the reputation he had. And they end up inside of a cave.
Isn't this a type and shadow of Jesus, though, in so many ways, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, so Jesus, he comes and he sits with the tax collectors. He walks with the sinners. He stands in front of the adulteress while she's about to get stoned. And they couldn't stand it. And it's so interesting to see how, you know, hundreds of years before, King David attracts the kind of the down on your luck type of people. And that's who ultimately he rules and reigns with.
Now, I would have been ticked if I was following David, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You just left every place of comfort and you end up in a cave.
Right,
and you're in there. There's no light. You're looking around, going, "I left Saul and my comfortability for this."
I can't think of a less comfortable place than a cave.
Right? Yeah, it's wet. Right, it's swampy. It's just dirty. There's no light. You can't see nothing, and you got people chasing to kill you. So you took the leap of faith and end here. Now you could track things like this all throughout the Old Testament. Right, look at Abraham. Abraham left his family, everything that was comfortable with him, and went on what? A journey.
Right.
And a journey to a land that was unfamiliar to him. Moses takes the people out of Egypt, and they're wandering in a wilderness, right? And so God always does the supernatural things in your life when you are willing to put yourself in uncomfortable situations where the only answer is God and God alone. That's one thing you could see pretty consistently throughout the scripture.
Right. And you know what sticks out to me is these men didn't complain.
Well, not yet, at least.
They did?
Oh, listen. I mean,
well, they didn't record it, right?
Yeah, no, they didn't write it down. They were just like, you know what? I'm just gonna let this slide.
So you think they complained?
Probably. Well, probably. Not in the beginning, at least.
Maybe a little bit.
I mean,
right?
I'm sure. Again, what would your thoughts be? You just left your home, your family. You just left everything covered to you. You end up in a cave with people surrounding you, ready to kill you.
No, I would have been happy.
You would have been good,
happy as a clam.
Peace. Finally, get some sleep, right? Without the kids going crazy,
pretty much.
You know, but it's really true. So David now is made a captain over them, and so now look at all the pressure on David. What does David do inside of the cave of Adullam? Well, when we get back from the break, we're gonna go right. It's biblically, historically recorded that the first thing that David did was pretty much the exact thing that's ascribed in Psalm 34. And so picture this story. You could turn to Psalm 34 if you have a Bible with you. If not, we're going to read it to you. And you're going to see the things that David begins to teach these people inside of the cave and how that can relate to us, to encourage us through our cave type of moments and our cave type of a lot of our decisions to almost put us in a cave sometimes, you know? So, but anyways, guys, you're listening to Sound of Heaven Radio Live. We're with you every single Wednesday and Friday at 6 p.m. I am your host, Pastor Johnny Ova, and I pastor the Sound of Heaven Church located in Deer Park. Visit our website at soh.church. That's soh.church. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Make sure you stay tuned. We're going to get into David, the Cave of Adullam, 400 men that left Saul. What did they do? Stay tuned. Hi, this is Pastor Johnny Ova, founder of the Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park. Here at Sound of Heaven Church, we encourage everyone to understand why they believe what they believe. For me, I had a pretty good childhood, but things got rough fairly quickly. My father was an alcoholic and yet still my best friend. And because of his love for me, which I felt every day, he was my hero. Sadly, my mother had a very different experience. Lonely and sometimes in dangerous situations. The fighting, the marital struggles, the drinking got the best of us and my family fell apart. Through my own personal struggles and demons, I didn't fall. I climbed into the lap of faith and embraced the gospel. Today, I'm ordained and I'm the senior leader of the Sound of Heaven Church. Together with an incredible staff, we offer you the gospel in a way you have never experienced before. Visit my website at soh.church. When considering a church, it's very important to not only examine their beliefs, but also your own. Visit Sound of Heaven Church at soh.church. That's soh.church. Welcome back, everybody, to Sound of Heaven Radio Live, where we are incredibly passionate about making the love of Jesus known to all. And we're here with you each and every Wednesday and Friday at 6 p.m. I'm your host, Pastor Johnny Ova, and I pastor the Sound of Heaven Church located in Deer Park. Visit our website at soh.church. That's soh.church, where you can see all the great things we're doing inside of the community. Check out our services, hear amazing stories, and much more. Subscribe to our podcast, Sound of Heaven Radio, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you can, give us a 5-star rating. Well, it doesn't take you much time, and it truly helps us out a ton. Like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Sound of Heaven Live. And if you want to join in on the conversation, call in 631-451-1039. That's 631-451-1039. And tonight we are talking about the Cave of Adullam and the story of David faking being insane, running, getting chased by Saul and his servants, and then 400 of his men joining him inside of the cave. I am joined by my co-host and partner, Jason Koch D'Ambrosio, and we are having a dialogue and discussion around this because this is an interesting topic here. It's real powerful. First off, Jason, the Hebrew word for Adullam, the name of the cave, literally means a retreat or refuge or a hiding place.
A hiding place.
And notice how Jesus also says, right, that I am your refuge, I am your place. That you could hide.
He does.
And so, again, that's what's called a type and shadow. A lot of the times, and Jesus mentions that, the Old Testament is types and shadows of the New Testament. So what is that? There are legitimate actual stories that reflect a shadow on things that Jesus was doing in the spiritual realm, right? So they physically held, went inside of a cave to hide against the enemy that was trying to kill them. And now Christ is saying, I'm your refuge. Hide inside of me. I will protect and guard you, guide you. And it's those that type of language of the first century that, you know, we really have to understand a bit better to understand.
Well, God is referred to as a dwelling place and a fortress as well.
Yep. Yep. And now we are the right in the Old Testament, the church with the temple was a physical building. Now we are referred to as the temple. Why? Right. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, no longer inside of a building. So you are the temple of God. You bring the miracles to you. You impact the world. You show the love unconditionally. That's what we're called to do. So all right. So David runs out, takes 400 of David's men, Saul's men. They get into this cave of Adullam. They're locked in, hopeless. No idea what's going on, what's happening, and now David's been named the captain of the ship here, right? And so what is he going to say? What is he going to tell them? What is he going to do?
Sorry, guys.
Oops. Man, shouldn't have done that. Called the wrong play. I apologize. No, we actually get to see exactly what he did in Psalm chapter number 34. So Psalm 34 is the first thing that takes place after this craziness, and we're going to read it now. Here's the first thing. Now, again, what would you say? I want you to think about that. What would you tell these people? What would you say if you were one of these people? How would you feel towards David? How would you feel towards God? And let's see what David says. He says this in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, I thought that was interesting in the first verse because the word praise here is little. It has a musical connotation over it. So the first thing that he teaches them inside of the cave is to honor God, I'll bless the Lord at all times, and to worship him.
And to sing and worship him.
That's it. So what should you do when you're in your cave or you feel like life's coming down? Trust God, honor God, and worship him.
That's the toughest time to worship him,
though. Yep.
And listen, we all know that when tough times come, what do we want to do? We want to fix it ourselves or we want to say, why God, why? That's not what David does here.
No. No, not at all.
Not only that, being a leader, he's worshiping God himself and then telling those that he's leading to do the same.
Well, that's the best way to lead, by showing instruction, right? You know, you have to be able to actually show with your actions what you're trying to impart into somebody else. So, and he does a great job of it here. So let's read this verse, Psalm 34. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Exalt the Lord with me, and let's exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and rescued me from all of my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This wretched man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no lack of anything. The young lions do without and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the person who desires life and loves the length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are toward their cry for help. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to eliminate the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord rescues him from them all. He protects all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil will bring death to the wicked, and those who hate righteous will suffer for their guilt. The Lord redeems the souls of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will suffer for their guilt. Jason, there is so many things that we could pull out of this.
Actually, when I first came to Sound of Heaven, this was one of the first messages that you preached.
The Cave of Adullam?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. It was like maybe the second Sunday. It might have been the first Sunday I was there. And I was like, yeah, this guy knows a little something.
Quite possibly. But how many of these verses out of here do we pull out and use for our everyday life to encourage? I mean, you want to talk about making a powerful opening statement. My goodness. Could David have come up with anything more powerful?
And it's so much more powerful when you realize where David was, how he was in the cave. He was facing certain death outside the walls of that cave. Yet the first thing he says is that bless the Lord and praise him.
Yep. And you might go, well, what happened to these guys? What happened to all these knuckleheads, all 400 of them? Well, you know what happened with them? These 400 men, what they learned inside of this cave These were the men that eventually reigned in Zion, right, on top of the mountain with David when he became king.
And that's what I was trying to draw a contrast to before between these guys and even the Israelites of Moses' time.
Right.
You see, every time the Israelites got thirsty, every time they got hungry, they went and they turned on Moses. They turned on Moses and Aaron to the point where Moses and Aaron couldn't even enter into the promised land later, right, on because they entertained this stuff. But here we have David leading by example, and we have 400 men that are down on their luck in the same cave he is, feeling the same cold, same dampness, same everything. And they leave that place and they literally conquer for God.
And the interesting part is his decision here could have derailed them. How bad could he have derailed them here if he would, right, have led them in a wrong direction?
Yeah, yeah. And he could have just gave up here.
And also, some of the things here are offensive at the time, to be quite honest with you. You're in a cave and you're saying, bless the Lord, worship him. Half these people are like, screw that, I ain't doing nothing,
right,
man.
Right. And how many times do we have everybody around us complaining and we say, all right, well, let me appease that. But this is David going against the grain. Think about this for a second. Not long before this, right, when David was a bit younger, he's anointed to be the next king. He kills Goliath. Everything looks like it's going in David's direction. And all of a sudden, he finds himself in a cave. How many of you have had promises over your life, have prayed for things, have had people tell you that you're going places?
Worked and hard for things.
Right, exactly. And then you just wake up one day and you find yourself in a place that you never wanted to be. And I would say, even looking at this, the proper context of this, you may be exactly where you're supposed to be prepared for this next level that you're going to.
Yeah, listen, not every good thing is a God thing. And what I mean by that is some of the most powerful things you'll ever learn are going to be some of the most, during some of the most toughest seasons of your life and hardest times of your life. And so in order for you to gain the wisdom and trust and faith that you need to continue to advance your life towards destiny, you have to go through the hard times. In fact, my cousin, Danny, who owns a clothing line in New York City, and he's got a retail storefront out there. I love his slogan. It says, "The hard times made us." That's a slogan of a sort.
Yeah, it's where you find out what you're made of. And honestly, it's where you get strengthened to be able to move forward. The Bible says that the trying of your faith, oh, we hate this verse, and kind of, produces patience, right? And then you let patience have its perfect work so that you can have what? You be mature and you lack nothing. You have to go through that test and that trial,
right,
to realize how strong you can be and honestly to build your strength.
Yep. Yep, so I want to break down some of these verses in here because I bet there's a lot of people listening right now that you feel like you're in a cave yourself, right? You feel like that the walls have come down around you. You feel like that you have no future, no hope for the future, no hope for good things in the future. And so there are things in here that David teaches these men that we can apply to our life, that if we actually do these things, we could see the fruit and benefit of this. And again, we know the end of the story. They were in the cave then. They did not know if they were going to live or die.
Right.
But now knowing the end result, they ruled and reigned as in Zion with the King David on the you couldn't get any more higher than that. You couldn't be any more prominent than that. And so it's very important that you take the things you learned during your hard times of your life and apply them. And the first thing he does is in those hard times, bless God and worship God. Now, you may say, what is worship God? What do you mean by worship God? And what do you mean by worshiping God with song? When we sing to God, we are not just, you know, let's sing the lyrics and let's repeat this. That doesn't mean anything. Let's just say, let me put it like this. I'm sure everybody who's married here has got a wedding song, right? And if you just walked in with a bouquet of flowers and started singing the wedding song to your wife, right? Genuinely, out of the heart, out of the blue, out of nowhere, I'm sure that big smile would come over her face, right? She'd have and it would be very welcoming and warming to that person. And why? Because you're singing your love towards that person. We watch movies where the man writes the song and sings a song serenading his girl, right? And that is built inside of us. Music is built inside. Music can change us. We have songs that make us cry, laugh. They pump us up. They do a lot of things. Music is very, very powerful. And so when God talks about worshiping God through song, we're actually singing those same kind of songs towards the Lord. We're singing about our tough times. We're singing about our excited times, our happy times, our low times. And when we do that, but when we do it with purpose, right? So you may be going through a tough time now, but when you sing about your eventual victory and you start writing lyrics to that or just thanking God for victory, you will begin to manifest that victory inside of your life.
What if you can't sing?
That's me.
I know.
Yeah, that's
why I brought it up. And I wasn't going to mention your name. But.
My wife's anointing is so powerful that he had to balance us out. I'm so bad, but she's so good that it levels out.
You're probably so bad that you still think you sound bad in the shower.
I do.
Everybody thinks they sound good
in the
shower.
I boo myself.
You boo yourself.
My funniest is when I sing to my daughter, Lucy, she literally puts her hands over her ears and makes like a scrunchy face.
She's a smart girl.
And I'm like, what is the matter, Lucy? She's like, stop singing that song. when I worship God, God's like, I get it. I just stop. I get it. I know you love me. All right.
But in all seriousness, God loves the outward expression of your inward belief.
And who doesn't? Who doesn't like to be encouraged and told there? So let's continue to go down here. I want to get to a couple of verses. Number 8, for those of you who are doubting here, this verse, this is a challenge towards you. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. What else do you have? What do you have to lose? Has it been working, doing it yourself? Do you know where you're going when you die? Can you stop yourself from that? Obviously, there's forces that we can't control, like death, right? Right. You can't live forever. You can through Christ, but you can't live forever on your own or on yourself. Some of you have everything. You have money. You have a nice job. You got a great family, and yet there's still an emptiness inside, and that's because built inside of our DNA, we all have a desire to be a part of something that's bigger than us.
Right. I love how it says taste and see, because that's an action. You have to go for it, and so many people probably even listen to this now and be like, oh, I haven't been to church in 10, 15, 20 years. If I walk in, I'll get hit by lightning. We hear that all the time. Listen, God just wants you to lean in a little bit and watch what happens.
Yep. And then let's go to verse number 18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Huh. I thank God for this, because how true is this? And people always say, it's almost like an excuse of why Christianity is fake. And I never understood it. They go, Christianity is a crutch for the weak. Or people only become a Christian when bad things happen in their life. And I just think, again, that's foolishness, because I've learned some of the most important lessons of my life making some of the stupidest decisions I could possibly ever make.
Right. And how you feel in the moment really isn't indicative as to where God is. You know, during these times, we feel like we're furthest from God. But when you're brokenhearted, God is right there with you.
Right. And so the fact that it took you to be broken and crushed to understand truth, that doesn't take away what is true.
Right.
Again, I learned some of the truest things that I still keep in my life today during the hardest times of my life. It doesn't negate it that I learned it during a tough season of my life.
No, it just may hurt bad enough for you to pay attention.
I was blind to it until I had to lose everything to gain everything. I had to lose everything to see the truth in Christ and the truth about my life. And a lot of times we know it, we just don't want to admit it and hide it. But when you lose everything, it's there. And we serve a God that loves us so much that he doesn't laugh at us when we make our mistakes and fall crumble to the ground. God's there with open arms saying, listen, I don't care about the mistakes that you made in the past. I don't care about your feelings right now. All I care about is your heart, and I want a relationship with you, and I'm here to save you. Just call upon my name, and I will change and transform your life. And if you're listening to me right now, and that's you, you're crushed, you're brokenhearted, you're discontent. Again, look at the people who came with him. You're frustrated, aggravated, in debt, no way out, hopeless, no light at the end of the tunnel. You're brokenhearted. I'm telling you, God is near to you, and there is no accident why you're listening to this radio show right now. These are what we call divine appointments. God has set this time and place for you to hear the words that are being spoken over this last hour. We're only a couple minutes left, and I encourage you to call out on the name of the Lord.
Every one of those men that were in the cave with David were down on their luck. Their life was not going in the direction that they wanted to. But you know what this proves? That everything else in your life could be going wrong. But if you can find a purpose for God, if you can find a purpose, because honestly, that's why we're here, right, is to make an impact for God. If you can find that purpose, everything comes together. These men achieved something when David walked into Zion and reigned there that they could never have done on their own. Why? Because they put their life in the hands of a movement of God.
Right. And again, we're talking about learning things in hard times. What they learned here, again, they used to rule and reign in Zion. So without that, they never would have learned it. Their pride would have gotten in the way for them to learn what was most important when they were ruling and reigning. And so these are things to all keep in mind when there. But I want to, again, we only have a couple minutes left here. And I hope you enjoyed the story of the Cave of Adullam and David and you know, playing crazy and running away with 400 of these men and teaching them how to worship God and trust in God during the tough times. And I just promise you tonight that if you trust in God, your life will never be the same again. Romans 10 talks about if you commit your life to him, you certainly will not be disappointed. And I came to a point in my life where I was disappointed in a lot of things. My parents, my dad specifically. I was disappointed in my relationships. I was disappointed in the people around me. To be quite honest with you, I was disappointed in myself. I thought I should be further along, do better, think better, be better. And it put me in a real bad spot. And when I called on the name of Jesus and invited him into my heart, it really changed my life. And this is not about something about becoming religious. This is about inviting the God who made you into your heart to begin to change and transform the very things that are holding you back in your life. And for some of you, it's drugs. For some of you, it's pornography. For some of you, it's womanizing. It's fear. It's anger. It's death. It's sickness. All these things are here to distract you. And if that's you who is just tired of being tired and you're just so overwhelmingly frustrated, I just invite you, just call on the name of Jesus. Invite him into your heart. Ask him to make you new. Say, God, I want to make you Jesus. I want to make you my Lord and my Savior today, this very second. I can't do this without you. Change and transform my heart. And I thank you for dying on that cross and rising again 3 days later. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said that prayer, we want to walk this out with you. We want to celebrate with you because it's the most important decision that you could ever make in your life. And to let us know, I want you to go to our website at soh.church. That's soh.church. Hit the contact us button and let us know. I'll be like, hey, I prayed that prayer with you. I prayed that prayer over the radio. What's my next step? And we got gifts for you. We got incredible just things that we want to share with you as well, too, and encourage you along your journey. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight to Sound of Heaven Radio. We're with you every Wednesday and Friday at 6 p.m. Have an amazing weekend. God bless you. Tell your friends. Tell your friends. We'll see you on Wednesday. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.